Joining us now is 7:55. Among my few goals left in life at 70, one is that the entire world knows that Jerry Augustine has one of the greatest nicknames in the history of sports. 7:55, as on July 20th, 1970-something, he was the starter and winning pitcher in the game in which Hank Aaron hit his final home run, number 7:55. Joining us now is, and I've called him 94, he's been the doctor of pitching. They just don't, they aren't up to the level of 7:55. Jerry Augustine, do you appreciate it as much as I do? I don't know what, this is unfair because you should really have some say in your own nickname. But in this case, I don't really care what you like. I've decided this is the one that needs to be.
It's special, Homer. I'll tell you what, any nickname that you give me, I accept. I love it. It's just, it's fun. It's a lot of fun because it all has personal meaning to me, and it's very special.
It has historic meaning.
It does. It is. Hank Aaron is involved with it, and 94 was the time when I actually got a ball over to play at 94 miles an hour, and the doctor of pitching, I love pitching. I can talk pitching all day long. So, Homer, you've given me the nicknames. I treasure those nicknames, and I hope I have them forever.
Well, I'm never going to use the other two ever again, just so you know.
And I'm welcome at any time.
And at the golf outing this week, which Joe Randa set up because his mom set up this incredible program for art for challenged people many years ago, and he raises money in honor of her. Doug Henry was there, and actually, I knew he was Doug. I didn't actually know it was Doug Henry. Told me he didn't believe it. He said no, that can't be true, because I'm thinking everybody would know that if it was true. I mean, Augie's been around it forever. I said, well, they're going to know now. Everybody's going to know. I look forward to the day when you call in and go, Homer, come on, enough. Everywhere I go now, 7:55, 7:55. I hope. I can't.
I love it.
I look forward to that call. All right. I said I can't. I don't know how it was with the Brewers because the team was good in 82 when you made the World Series. Is there any team or situation that you think is even close to the Cubs at Craig Counsell? Was it the Yankees? What? Was there?
Boy, that's a tough one because I think the Brewers, when we were in the playoffs, remember 81, we were in the playoffs against the Yankees, and that was all special. They were our rivalry.
And it was the weird extra playoffs, really. It wasn't a normal.
Yes, it was. And any time we played the Yankees in anything, we had historic numbers at the ballpark. So I think that was very special. I think going to the World Series against the Cardinals is special and beating the Los Angeles Angels. But I don't think there's anything in franchise history or maybe even in baseball history that is – takes on such a great story, so many different stories that the Cubs Brewers in 2025 makes. And this is really special. I love it. I think it's great. I think it's great for baseball. I think it's great for the Cubs fan base. It's excellent for our fan base. It's just very special. There's nothing better than the Cubs and the Brewers. And having Murph and Craig Counsell just makes it that much more special.
Was there a team that you played back then that you came close to saying that you hated? I remember the White Sox only because I told everyone, be careful when you go to the game because White Sox fans will pick a fight with anybody. They just like fighting. But that really wasn't an issue of one team versus another. That was just...
Boy, that's a tough one, Homer. I think if there's anybody, I think maybe the Minnesota Twins were always the rivalry in that. I think anytime we played the Yankees, was always very special. Other than that, you know, maybe the Orioles a little bit, but there was nothing better when we played than the Yankees and Boston Red Sox. Our division, when you look at our division, it was the Brewers, the Detroit Tigers, the Toronto Blue Jays, the Baltimore Orioles, and the New York Yankees. Does it actually get any better than that?
Yeah, but I don't think, again, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't believe there was any hate. I can't remember any feeling of don't like these guys. I mean, there was the Yankees, everybody to some degree hated because they got so much attention in the history. It's like, oh, they're the Yankees. They're special. But I don't ever remember hearing or someone saying that the players go, man, we like beating this team because we don't like their manager. I mean, maybe it, in St. Louis, had Tony La Russa, the devil. There may have been some, but even that doesn't seem.
No,
there's a Cardinals Cubs thing, but this is, and everybody, you go to the games here, and the Cubs fans are louder than the Brewers fans. It's just a degree of how much, but that's shifted. And I'm, as much as the game, I'm curious because I think it's possible that for the first time, or maybe there have been others, but where the Brewer fans will be louder than the Cubs fans, because I don't think that many people will sell tickets, even for more money.
No, this is so special. I think it started, and everybody at one time even was arguing whether there's really a rivalry between the Cubs and the Brewers. I think day one, when Bud Selig changed the Brewers to the National League, and there's a story that at first they asked Kansas City if they wanted to be in it lately, but everybody knew that Bud wanted that rivalry that we have between Chicago Cubs and the Brewers, and it's taken on that form ever since the Brewers are in the National League. So it's a great rivalry. It's 90 miles away from each other, and it's always been that way. And I'll tell you what, the last few years with everybody playing better, it's taken on a better story. And this is going to be a clash of two really good baseball teams. And I'll tell you what, Brewers deserve all the credit they get. They're the best in all of baseball. They have the best record. You look at the runs scored and all what they've done and how they've done it with the small market. It doesn't get any better than that.
How nervous is it?
How it's not different? Nervous. It's baseball.
No, but I mean, you've been through this, so you've been through 162. And the thing about baseball is, it's just one game. You can't let it get to you. You got to move on to the next. Well, the postseason is exactly the opposite. Every game is. And every pitch seems pivotal. Am I correct in terms of the hardest thing about baseball is not overreacting to one pitch or one game or even one week? When you get to the playoffs, it's not overreacting. All those things become that much more important, and I'm guessing the pace is just different, or maybe you try to act like it's just another game. Tell me, you've lived it.
It changes. I mean, everybody starts out 0-0 homer, and I'm going to tell you, every game means a lot. Every inning means a lot. Every pitch means a lot. And the game has a heightened type of situation where the feelings that, boy, you got to go out and play real well, and that experience and the success that you have has to be, you got to go out and play good baseball. I think the one thing on this playoff, so I think with the Brewers being the best team as far as winning record in baseball has really helped this club. I think when you have a young club like the Brewers are, with a great mixture of great young players that have come through and done such a great job for Milwaukee, and the veteran players that have a voice, I think that week off really helps the camaraderie with this ball club, and they've been able to do things. And Murph does such a great job of keeping this team together. I think the time off has really helped this ball club. And it's going to be interesting how it affects Chicago. Now, Chicago's on a high. They played a great series against a great team, probably one of the best teams in all of baseball, and they came out on the positive end. So it's going to be fun because there's a high from winning as far as the Cubs go, but there's also a high from the Brewers saying, you know what, we're the best team in baseball, and we showed it, and we're going to go out and prove it. And I think that wanting to prove it really heightens the experience that we fans in Milwaukee are going to experience during these playoffs. I think it's going to be a great time. It's going to be fun. And as much as it is about Murph and Council, it's more about the Brewers and the Cubs.
And then it becomes, to me, if you're the Brewers, like, it's not one game. Like, playing five games, you can't keep us from winning three. You just can't do it. We play too well. Every, 27 outs or whatever they go, every play, we just fundamentally do these things so well that over five games, we're going to win three. Is that an appropriate analysis or not?
That's appropriate. I think what you're out there, it's the best out of five. You got to go out and play hard. You got to understand that, you know what, you have to overcome mistakes. But the one thing about this Milwaukee Brewer baseball team is they play 27 outs homer. And when you go to play the Milwaukee Brewers, I don't care if it's the first inning or it's the ninth inning, they're going to come at you and they're going to give you everything they got. They give good at-bats. This is a team that over the first half of the year was known as a manufacturing run team. They would go out and manufacture runs. They scored 4 runs in the game, more than any team in the game of baseball. But yet, you look at the second half of the year, they were 10th in the major leagues as far as home runs. So now they've got a little power surge that they can add with it. And you play in our wonderful ballpark, American Family Field. This is a great hitter's ballpark. You better pitching, better pitch well. It all comes down to, at the end, it comes down to bullpens. Bullpens win playoffs. And I tell you what, I think the Brewers are as good as anybody in baseball.
All right, now to the bullpen. Do you want to, where does it start? Or the bullpens are now so large, and this person pitch or that person pitches. When is it just the number of pitchers that you like, or what makes you say that? I mean, the San Diego, they talk about their bullpen. Everybody talks about their bullpen, especially if it's bad, which certainly doesn't apply to either of these two teams, right?
Yeah, well, you saw yesterday and the day before yesterday what the San Diego has in that bullpen when they had their first inning, the pitcher only went four outs or 3 outs, and now all of a sudden you saw a bullpen, and they went through the game and they did an outstanding job. They all say San Diego probably has the best bullpen in baseball. It's pretty close, but I think the Brewers are right there. But what's more important, Homer, when you see the Milwaukee Brewers bullpen, it's set up a certain way. They got Trevor McGill is your closer, and I think he will be the closer in this. But then you got your 2 setup guys.
But hold on, I want to ask you about that. Right now, and you're happy to tell me when I'm wrong, I think Uribe is better than McGill right now. All right, you're the pitcher.
You know what?
Yeah, you're 755. What's your response when I say that?
When you look at pitches, Uribe's got such an upside, and he's really, his slider's one of the best in all of baseball, and he's got that ability to throw the 100-mile-an-hour sinker and all those things. He is really, really good. He's got such great upside. I think I kind of lean at closing to Trevor McGill because he's done it all year. He understands the importance. And one thing Trevor McGill did in the middle of the season, he made a little bit of adjustment in his delivery, and he's just been dynamic. And the way he threw the ball on Sunday, I kind of questioned it, but he threw the ball very, very well. He's the guy who was there. I think Uribe's as good as they can get. I think Jared Koenig is as good as both of them when you look from the left side. You have a 3-headed monster for the end of the ball game that's as good as anybody in baseball. How they use it is going to be up to what Murph wants to do. But I think he's going to stick to his guts, and I think he's going to go with Trevor McGill's my closer until proven different. And when I got Abner Uribe and Jared Koenig coming out in 7th inning and 8th inning, I feel very, very good about the way what's going on if we got the lead. So I think that's pretty well set. And then before that, you got guys.
So
like
then it's about a 6-inning game. If we're ahead at the end of 6, over. Right?
Okay. I like that. I like that mix-up because you look at what Jared Koenig has done and you look what Uribe's done. Boy, you've got a 3-headed monster there that is as good as anybody in baseball. Plus that, you got Nick Mears back after a little bit of a setback. He's back. He's your closer for your starter. And then you want to keep the game intact. Well, you take Aaron Ashby, as good as anybody in baseball. He's got great stuff. You know, I don't know if D'Hell Hall is going to be there. I don't know if Grant Anderson's quite there, Tobias Myers, some of these guys. But when you look at those 5 guys, they are so important to this ball club. You get to the 5th and 6th inning, boy, I'm going to tell you what, it's going to be a really good ball game for the Brewers. And we saw that happen when Ned Yost was over in Kansas City. They go 5 innings. He has 6, 7, 8, 9 pretty darn good relievers. And we saw that with the St. Louis Cardinals in 2011. What was the average starter going in with the Cardinals in 2011? 4 2/3 innings. They had a great bullpen. With Ned, it was just 5 1/3 inning. So you got teams that win successfully have their bullpen set up. I don't think the Cubs are quite set up like that. I don't think Counts has had that opportunity to set them up that over a period of time because they've had some injuries. So it's going to get interesting. These bullpens are going to win this playoff. It's going to come down to bullpens. I know you look at offense. I know you look at starters. But it's going to come down to bullpens and playing good, solid defense.
With 7:55, Jerry Austin, can we take a quick break? I only need you for a couple more minutes, but I want to address and have you address like how you do the bullpen and things like that. So can you give us 10 more minutes? All right. 755. You can use other nicknames if you want for him, because I've given them to him. Yes, winning pitcher, starting seven innings, winning pitcher, July 20th, when Hank Aaron hit 755. And Jerry Augustine is so nice, he never thought this, but if I had been the winning pitcher in 755, every time Hank Aaron came to the plate after that, I would have said, please don't hit a home run. Please don't hit a home run. Please don't hit a home run. Next.
Some gonna win, some gonna lose. Some gonna wake up in the morning with the blues, not me.
Fisco Auto Body. I tell people to go there because they're that good. You'll thank them, and then eventually you'll thank me. Fisco Auto Body on Forest Home in Franklin. On Forest Home in Franklin. It's a family business owned since 1931, and the family's still doing it. Why is that important? Because they're still fixing the cars. It's not what they do, it's who they are. So imagine how many years they've been working on this stuff before they get to your car. Because it's still their family business. Fisco Auto Body on Forest Home in Franklin. Expert workmanship guaranteed for the life of your vehicle. Fisco, Fisco, Fisco. So you remember the name. 755 Jerry Augustine. Because he was the winning pitcher when Hank Aaron hit his final home run number 755. 755, you discussed the bullpen. And here's the question that comes up and it becomes discussed. How a manager uses the bullpen. How do you decide what to do? So often the starters don't go that long. They probably don't even know exactly who might start in the third game. How do you advise people to look at and decide if the manager's doing it right, or you just assume they're always doing it right? Because no one knows, and there's so many different bullpen decisions every game.
There are, and the game situation will dictate it to you. I think when you look at the Brewers, and I kind of talked to it in our last segment a little bit, it was that, you know, when you take the starters from the Brewers, most, if it's a closing type situation, a guy comes in, you got a lead, you want to come in and have a good inning, or you got a guy on base, it's going to be Nick Mears. He's the guy who's been there. He's almost like a stopper in the bullpen. And you need that guy to come in right after, just to shut the things, calm things down a little bit. Nick Mears has been that guy all year long that's pitched in that sequence. Now, he's pitched anywhere from the fifth inning on up to the seventh inning and done such a great job, sometimes a little bit later than that. But then you look at it, balancing it. It might be a guy comes in, you got a tie ball game, or you're up by a run, starting an inning, and you don't need that closer for a starter. Well, you got Aaron Ashby. And what was difference with this ball club early in the year, when D.L. Hall was healthy, they had that two-headed left-handed monster in Aaron Ashby and D.L. Hall. Worked very, very good. And with D.L., we don't know where he is and how he's throwing the ball, so that's going to be a little bit of a concern. But then when you get past that, now you get to the seventh and eighth inning, you know where you're going. It depends on the situation. A lot of times you're going to go match up with Uribe, Koenig, and Trevor McGill. So some of these guys can slip down later in the game. I think when you look at Nick Mears, he can go later in the game if you need it. You take Aaron Ashby, the way he throws the ball, later in the game. And even a guy, when he's throwing the ball well, Grant Anderson can be a real positive part of this ball club, because he affects left-handed or right-handed. It doesn't make any difference. He's been struggling a little bit lately and with his breaking ball a little bit. I'd like to see him be a little bit more consistent. But now you're getting five and six guys in there, and then you've got D.L. Hall and Tobias Myers. But it depends. Are they going to keep a guy like Jake Mazeroski in the bullpen? Are they going to get – I really like Chad Patrick, the way he's pitched the ball. He could even possibly be a starter.
All right, let's stop for a second, because I wanted to ask you about Miz. Either way, yes. He's not going to pitch that many innings, right? I mean, this is what I'm saying. So what should Miz do? Should they put him in the bullpen? Should they start him one game? If he starts, you go, how many innings does he go?
You know what, Homer? I think he can be used either or.
Right.
And let me say why. Jake Mazeroski came up, and the first thing when you listen to Henderson and Chris Hook talk, they said, you know what, we're not going to do a whole lot with him. We're going to let him come up here and experience the major leagues. We're going to let him see what he can do and see how he does. Well, when he first went out, everybody talked about, oh, Miz, 11 innings, one hit, throwing the ball very well, doing what he needed to do. But he was able to start the game and pitch at his own pace and rhythm. Pitchers pitch by pace and rhythm. That means some pitchers pitch in a up tempo type of style. Some pitchers need to back off and let take their time and go about each pitch a little bit differently. I think Jake Mizorowski right now is a up-tempo pitcher that when he gets the ball, he likes to see the sign and go right after him. It seems like his delivery is more consistent when he gets the ball, sees the pitch, sees what he's got to throw, and goes right after him. He's more consistent in the strike zone. He's more consistent with his off-speed pitches, his secondary pitches, and I think that's when he pitches the best. The other day when he went out, he came in relief. If you noticed him, he would get to the mound, he'd look in, he'd set, look in, take his time, and then throw, and his delivery got off, and he was a little bit wild with rushing to the plate, and the ball was going up and away and down and in with his breaking ball. So I think he's an up-tempo guy. I could see that Brewers using him in any situation if he's on the roster. I could see him starting, and I could actually see him pitching an open inning in a ball game because, you know, he can make a dramatic effect in any ball game when he comes in there because he's got that ability.
But see, you so kind of make my point. Like, even you, 755, aren't sure which way to do it. How does a manager, because everybody... The benefit in this situation, I think, is that everybody, whatever Murph does, I approve. That's kind of how I am. Whatever he does, I agree with it. Because even you go, well, you can do it this or you can do this. And maybe, I guess, it doesn't matter. But that tells me how tough it is to decide when even you go, well, you could go either way. Because, like, it's that difficult or it depends on go ahead.
You got to look at the way they brought him in. They brought him in a tough situation, and Murph did that. That was a test. They brought him in a situation with guys on base, and yeah, he could have got him. He got a little bunt base hit. He got a walk and gave up some base hits. That was a challenge by Murph to see exactly where Miz is when he comes in the ball game. If you look at the innings after that, he actually threw the ball pretty decent. He threw strikes. They didn't score any runs. So I think when you look at Miz. This week off, I'll guarantee you, Mizorowski pitched a couple times this week off just to see where he was at, see how he was throwing the ball, see how Henderson and Chris Hook liked the way he was throwing the ball, and I think that will dictate how they use him or even if he's on the roster.
So when you're watching the game, do you ever, they should bring this guy into that. It just seems... So hard. Is it become a lot of match? I mean, I know it's matchups lefty-righty, but it's fair to say I don't know how any fan can realistically complain about what's done given how many, you know, like when do you take them out? That's the other thing. How long do you stay with them? What?
It's a tough decision, Homer. I think those are, you see guys that are sometimes they get into situations where they're just the ball's just not. He's not getting ahead of hitters. He's rushed a little bit. His tempo's off a little bit. His delivery's off where he's getting up in a way he's not locating the ball. These are things that they see that they know. They know all these pitchers real. Chris Hook and Jim Henderson, they're so good at it. And I think they relate with Murph. And Murph is the kind of coach that he understands that part. He knows when to go get him. He has an idea in his mind of how he's going to work and how he's going to use guys. And I'll tell you what. All this bullpen, when you look at this bullpen between Trevor Megill, Uribe, Koenig, Mears, Ashby, and if you add D.L. Hall when he's good or Garrett Anderson, they've been very, very consistent and good all year long. And I don't have any problem with any of these guys. Now, I don't know who else they're going to keep on the roster. It'll be interesting. But whoever they keep on the roster is going to be there for a reason. It's going to be a reason to pitch late in the ball game. Is he the kind of guy who can give you extra innings? It's all going to depend on that. And Miz might be part of that. I think Chad Patrick's going to be on the final report because this guy has been really, really good in games as a starter, and he comes in the game as a reliever the other day and threw the ball very well. I think he's a strike thrower, so it's going to be interesting who they pick, and by the way they pick is going to depend on who they feel is the best matchup with the Chicago Cubs.
All right, now we get to Christian Yelich. I don't know this, so it would be fair if someone said, you're just making this up. His leadership seems to me to be almost identical to the leadership of Robin Yount, in that in both cases, it's not what they say, it's what they do.
I agree. 100%. Robin was never a guy who would be vocal in the clubhouse. There'd be once in a while he'd come in and he'd say a couple things, and you know, you chuckle because that's Robin. Robin wants to go on the field. And he wants to win every game. He wants to play hard, and he's
every
gonna,
play.
When something needs to be said, Robin will say it. And it's so unique that I remember times when I was in a game, and I'll never forget, it was 83. We started the first three games against California Angels, and we lost the first three games, and I don't remember the scores. And I started the third game, and I got that at eighth inning, and Robin came in. He says, "You got one inning to go. You got a shutout. Come on, let's finish it right here." He doesn't do that too often. He never did that too often. But at the end of the game, he came up and I ended up giving a home run to Bobby Grish. He came up and put his arms around me. He said, "That was awesome, Og." You know, that's the type of kid that Robin was. And that's the identical kind of kid that Christian Yelich is. He wants to go out and show you by his playing ability, how he hustles, how he plays the game, his integrity, the way he plays the game. And he's a true leader. And really, when you look at the Milwaukee Brewers, we were so fortunate to have Robin and Paulie and those guys back in the 80s. But I'm going to tell you, Christian Yelich is definitely a leader, and that someone that everybody on this ball club looks up to.
The spokesman leader, or, you know, like the fiery leader. I don't know. I always thought it was Gantner, but then I didn't know the clubhouse that well. And it may seem like it's Contreras now. And I don't even know that I described the player, the role of just the most emotion, the most energy. What's the best way to describe it?
Well, I think leadership. And back then, we were so blessed. Back then, we had Ted Simmons. Ted Simmons was our leader. You better keep yourself in line, because at the beginning of the season, after 81, he said, "You know what? I don't care who's on this roster. I don't care if our roster is 60 or our roster is 26 or 25, but everybody who's on this roster, you're focused on one thing. You're focused on helping this ball club. Are you going to do great every time? No, it doesn't happen that way. But I'm going to tell you what, when you come in the game, you give it your best. You know what? And that's fine with everybody else on this ball club." I think this ball club has that too. I think there's some guys in this clubhouse that speak up, but I think Christian is that guy. I think Contreras is a guy who really has a lot to say when things go on. I think he's a guy who goes out there. But then I think there's some other guys that come up, and you talk about Reese Hoskins and some of these other guys. I think these guys have a lot to say behind closed doors, yeah. And I think that has a lot to do with this
and
ball
so,
club.
With so many that are young, it's kind of hard to know how that fits in, because it's tough to do when you're just early on. You got to be something pretty special for everybody to listen if you do it when you're new. All right. 7:55, and your last word is regarding the Brewers Cubs. 7:55 gets the last word, then I break. You have 30 seconds. 7:55, take it away.
Milwaukee Brewer fans, let's enjoy this. This is a special time of the year. This is a great matchup. This is a historic matchup. I love the Brewers in this race. I think they have an opportunity to do so many things. When you look at this team, you say, wow, this is a good ball club. They've scored four runs or more than anybody in baseball. They have the best bullpen in baseball. And how do you win? You win with bullpens. Go Brewers.
7:55. Thank you. And next time you're on, you'll be 7:55 again. Just remember, it doesn't get bigger each time. 7:55 every time. You bet. Jerry Augustine next.